Don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month.
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can actually keep your same phone, your same number, even your same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying right now. It's kind of like getting a number one starting quarterback.
For the price of a backup kicker.
Steal of the draft.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Our unlimited plan with 10 gigabytes at high speed, then 2G is just $45 a month. With nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Are you in the market for a new or used vehicle? I'm Brittany from Toyota of Iowa City, and I'm here with some great news for you. Toyota of Iowa City, voted the area's best auto dealer by Press Citizen readers once again, is starting its Toyota Black Friday event right now. Come browse our huge vehicle inventory and take advantage of factory specials such as 0% financing for 60 months on all new 2018 RAV4s and 2.9% financing on all certified pre-owned RAV4s.
And come in to see the great lease rates on all new 2018 Camrys.
You really need to stop in and see for yourself. But don't wait. These deals end on December 4th. Check us out today at toyotaiowacity.com for more specials and details, or better yet, just stop in and tell them Brittany sent you.
0% financing for 60 months requires qualifying credit and is $1,667 per 1,000 borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Kevin Harlan and Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner here from Westwood One with a preview of Monday Night Football brought to you by Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Turning feelings into jewelry. That's why he went to Jared. Hey, Kurt, a very interesting game coming up from Seattle. 6-3 Seahawks against the 5-4 Falcons.
An exciting game that could have huge playoff implications. And you got a Seattle team that's coming off an injury to Richard Sherman. How do they respond to that? Offensively, it's been all about Russell Wilson. Can they find a way to generate some offense somewhere else? And then the Atlanta Falcons, huge win this past week against the Dallas Cowboys. Will that get them back to Super Bowl form?
All right, always loud and crazy in Seattle. Join us for the Falcons at the Seahawks on Monday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long, right here on KGYM.
Clean Motor Oil keeps your engine running at peak performance. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, save on your next oil change when you purchase 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for the price of Pennzoil Conventional, just $24.99. Save big with Pennzoil Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When it comes to the holidays,
if you've lost faith in Kirk Ferentz, what does he have to do to regain it at this point? 319-366-1600. Welcome back in and welcome to hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Along with Alex Kuhn, I'm Todd Brommelkamp. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Iowa State women's basketball is on the way. Before then, at 6:30 on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. You'll catch the final 30 minutes of this program, if you're so inclined, at 6:30 on 106.3 and 107.5 our South and North Gym program or FM frequencies. Scott Docterman for the landof10.com joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk Hawkeye football and basketball with him. Iowa losing to Purdue Saturday at Kinnick Stadium on Senior Day. And then anything you can do, I can do better. Fran McCaffrey and the men's basketball team falling to Louisiana, 80-71 earlier today at the Cayman Islands Classic. The Hawkeyes now 3-1 on the season. We are going to hear a little bit of what Fran McCaffrey had to say after that game, but we'll get to it coming up in the third and final hour of the program tonight. Again, the floor is yours, Hawkeye fans. The number, 319-366-1600. What's the deal with the Iowa Hawkeyes? 366-1600. It's the 11th week of the season. We're sitting here talking about losing to a Purdue football team that I don't think Iowa should have lost to on Saturday. And I'm not the only one who feels that way. And again, the comment was made by Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette about 2 hours ago on the gym class that that's going to be a really nice program in a couple of years if Jeff Brohm sticks around. But right now, this year, in the here and now, 2017, you're at home, it's senior day, you don't lose that game. And yet the Hawkeyes did.
And not only did they, Purdue looked like the better football team on Saturday in all three phases of the game. Offensively, defensively, and on special teams, they looked better than Iowa did. And it got to the point, I think it was 21-9 midway, or at the end of the third quarter, and you're sitting there and you're saying, this is Purdue. Iowa has not moved the ball yet. As long as Purdue continues to flip field position and give this offense bad field position, there's no way that Iowa is going to come back in this game. And late in that game, Nate Stanley started to throw the ball, and they moved the ball and scored a touchdown that cut it to 24-15. Then there was a controversial decision by Kirk Ferentz to go for two, and it just was a all-around bad day from the players on the field to the coaching staff. And nothing really went right on Saturday. And I think that it's not that they lost. Yes, that would have been bad if they would have. You don't slice up a loss any particular way. It's bad, but they looked bad on top of it, which adds insult to injury.
Before we get to the phone lines, and we do have one open right now, 319-366-1600. To me, I keep going back to the opening drive of the second half with Purdue, and that sort of encapsulates the issues with the Iowa football program, because when is the last time that you saw the Hawkeyes come out and do what Purdue did? And that was right out of the half. They had made adjustments, they schemed accordingly, and they had made a decision that they were going to go at and attack relentlessly Manny Rugumba, and they did it. And it was boom, 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 and Purdue was on the board. And I don't recall the last time that I've seen Iowa do that. And that's the whole point of halftime, right?
Yes.
You go in, you make adjustments, and you come out and you put those into play and into action. And Purdue did that. And you also had the penalty that kept the drive alive at the one point, which I know Scott Docterman, who's going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour, wrote about just a key pivotal moment. As you mentioned, the decision to go for two at the end of the game when it doesn't matter what order you get them in, you just need the points. So do you kick the field goal and then try the onside kick? Because if you don't get the two-point conversion, then it's a moot point. The game is over. So, and this game was such a cluster that Kirk Ferentz didn't really even get asked about it, I don't think, in the post game. That's how many questions there were surrounding what everybody saw on Saturday night. 319-366-1600. My apologies, our callers have dropped off there. I guess this isn't a fast food restaurant. If you know, we've got. We can't get you your food in 30 seconds at the window. Sometimes you have to be a little bit patient, and we appreciate your waiting with us here. 319-366-1600. Hawkeyes, what are your expectations for Nebraska on Friday? 366-1600, because the Huskers showed a little life against Penn State over the weekend, which is probably the last thing that Iowa fans wanted to see.
I personally have no expectations, and that's really great of somebody who sits behind a microphone and is paid to give their opinions on the Iowa football program to say, I don't know at this point. I don't know what this team is going to look like on Friday. But Todd, something that was interesting to me, Kirk Ferentz postgame, you were sitting there, so correct me if I'm off base on this, but he just seemed completely uncomfortable, and at this point, maybe he doesn't know what is going on with his football team. But somebody asked him the question that everybody is asking right now. How can this team look the way that they have the last 2 weeks after the way they looked against Ohio State?
That was Mike Halas from the Gazette, and he hated the question.
He hated the question.
He parsed it. He danced around it.
And I feel like his answer was, oh, well, Wisconsin does that to a lot of people, and it's just minor adjustments.
And Purdue doesn't.
The problem is, it is a problem when you can't admit that there's a problem. And no, Wisconsin doesn't hold everybody to 66 yards. Illinois had 260 yards of offense against them. That was the fewest amount of yards they have ever given up. That is the fewest amount of yards that Kirk Ferentz's offense during his tenure at Iowa has ever had in a single game. So that it wasn't that they just got beat. It was that they were historically bad in that football game on offense. And then to back it up with another terrible performance, they have gained 324 yards of offense in the last 2 weeks. That's not going to win you many football games.
John on the text line, is the media afraid to ask Kirk tough questions? I got asked some uncomfortable questions on Saturday night, and he's going to get asked some uncomfortable questions. I don't, and this isn't an attack on you, John, but at this point, I don't know what to tell people that question the media's role in the Iowa football program, because no matter what the question is, Kirk Ferentz is always going to have a Kirk Ferentz answer for the question. And if somebody asks a question and he doesn't necessarily like it, he's going to give you the most bland, milquetoast answer possible. I mean, it just, you could ask him the most cutting question. I don't know. What does everybody want as far as questions being thrown at Kirk Ferentz? Should you fire your son? And nobody's going to ask. Nobody in their right mind is going to ask that outside of somebody on a message board who's hiding behind some moniker. I mean, he's been asked about Brian's performance as the offensive coordinator. He gave a very generic, bland answer a couple weeks ago. He always talks. You ask him about one aspect of the program, and it's, we've got a lot of things. It's not just one thing. It's this, and it's that, and it's this, and look, the guy is very good at diffusing and diverting attention elsewhere. And that's just so we're talking about expectations. Don't expect a whole lot from him tomorrow, because we're going to hear from him his normal time. And it's going to be a whole lot of, obviously, we've got some things to clean up. It's a short week. Nebraska's a good football program. They're a good team. Let's see, what am I missing here? I feel like I should have the...
It's a great challenge.
The index of... It's a great challenge. It's execution. It's going to come down to execution.
Short week.
Short week. We've got some... We got to shore some things up. That was the line on Saturday night where I thought, okay, you're losing a lot of Iowa fans here by just saying we've got to shore some things up, because that makes it seem as if you're a little disconnected. You got to shore some things up in week two. You got to shore some things up in week three. You got one game left in the Big Ten season. You ain't shoring things up. And by the way, let me be really clear about this, and I'll get into the Hertine and Stocker text line here coming up in just a little bit, because I see they're coming in very clear. This is, and I've never said this is the easiest job in the world, because it's not. I really like Kirk Ferentz. I like him as a human being. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a good football coach. I would love to sit down with, you know, no media affiliation whatsoever. I'd like to be just two guys having a beer and talk to Kirk Ferentz sometime, because I really do think he's a good guy. And there is nothing tougher in this business than sitting here and being critical of somebody who you know at the bottom of your heart is a good person. And that is, I'm not having an easy time with that. But he's paid to be the head coach of the football program, and I think he would be the first to tell you he is paid to be the lightning rod. And we've seen this time and time again. He will gladly take all of the blame for his coaches, for the players, for anything else that goes on in the program. He wants it to go through him. And he's an adult. He's a big boy. He can take it. It doesn't make this any easier, certainly no fun. There are people in this business who would be sharpening up the knives right now, and they would be carving him like a Thanksgiving turkey. Seems appropriate this week, does it not? I'm not one of those guys. I like him, but I can certainly understand the segment of the fan base. And for some people, it's been around since 2007, 2008. And then, of course, you go and you win the Orange Bowl, and you make those people look pretty foolish. The problem is, those people never go away. And for every Orange Bowl, you've got a season like this one. And that's when those people come out of hibernation. And it's very easy in this day and age for those people to have a very loud and clear voice, because you've got Twitter, and you've got message boards, and you've got this program. 319-366-1600. Let's go to Brock in Cedar Rapids. Brock, apologize for making you wait there for a little bit. Thanks for being patient. What's on your mind?
Well, I just got a few things I want to touch on. First, I want to, you know, everybody that does criticize him, I want to be very clear that we need to be careful what we wish for, because we've seen what happened with the basketball program. You know, and Ken O'Keefe's back on the staff, so do you promote him to offensive coordinator? We may have been vanilla, but we won games when he was the offensive coordinator. It baffles me. They look befuddled, and the play calling doesn't look consistent with what we called during the Ohio State game. It's they're trying to force feed the run when the run isn't working. I understand that's always been Iowa's staple, and they've always used that. But you've got receivers, you've got a good quarterback. I mean, it looks like the team as a whole is deflated and frustrated with what's going on, and I don't understand it. I mean, look how they played against Penn State, and then a week later they played fairly well against Michigan State, and then you beat Ohio State, but you just there's something's not right. Something's not clicking.
Appreciate the phone call, Brock, and that's what's really hard to put the finger on at this point, is there's just something that's not clicking. And Josie Jewell stood in front of his team, and we were not in the locker room, but Josie came in and told us that he talked to the team after the game, stood in front of his teammates in the locker room and said, "Where do you want to go from here? Do you want to wind up in Detroit?" He said Detroit. He brought up, not, didn't name the bowl, but everybody knows a reference to Detroit is the Quick Lane Bowl, which for years has been the butt of jokes around the Big Ten and in Iowa City, because nobody thought in a million years Iowa would ever be in the discussion, and I still think they're not for that particular bowl game. But you've got a captain of the team standing in front of the locker room after the 11th game of the year, and he's got to ask this team where it wants to go. That was the eye-opener for me on Saturday night, because if the captain of the team is sensing that maybe there are some guys that are a little bit listless right now or not dialed in or not focused, then, yeah. Because to me, there's still a lot to play for here, even though a couple weeks ago the Big Ten West was off the table. And it's frustrating for fans to see a program go from the Big Ten championship game and the Rose Bowl 2 years ago to Josie Jewell talking about Detroit in a post-game news conference. 520-319-366-1600. Let's head to Lisbon and hear from George. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I only had two questions. The first one was about Wisconsin. I mean, against Ohio State, our tight ends are everywhere and tearing up their linebackers. And against Wisconsin, there's always a blitzing linebacker. Why aren't our tight ends cutting behind him and catching a pass for 5 or 7 yards? And the other question is against Purdue, why can't Parker assign a safety to go over there and help out Rubunga? I mean, they scored 2 touchdowns in 3 minutes doing the exact same play. How does the shift to safety over there help them out? That's my question.
Well, and I think if you asked Kirk Ferentz, you asked Phil Parker that, they would say every move is going to get, you know, if you take from one area, you're leaving another area vulnerable. And I'm not, Kirk Ferentz isn't going to walk into a news conference and say that he wants me or should have me on his coaching staff. I'm not an X's and O's guy. I don't necessarily feel comfortable delving into that particular in-depth discussion on that stuff. But for the Wisconsin point, I will say this. Yeah, it was successful against Ohio State. Okay, it's on film now.
Yep.
And Wisconsin and every other team in the Big Ten looks and sees. So it's just the same thing. Well, the Polecat play worked once. Why don't you run it every game? The fake field goal that Iowa pulled off against Ohio State, because it's been out there. And I look, it's not just the Ohio State game. It's not breaking news to any Iowa opponent that the tight ends are going to be involved in the passing. And it just became very evident this year that if you take the tight ends out of the passing game, Iowa can't move the ball through the air.
Exactly.
And then it's on the ground, and then that's where the issue with how do you use Akram Wadley, and is he being used to the best of his abilities? And I think you could make the argument that no, he isn't. But again, only one person holds the title of offensive coordinator. And you know, the play calling is what it is at this point. 319-366-1600. Ron in Iowa City is next up on the phone lines. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I kind of stole my thunder because I just watching this. I think that the blueprint moving forward for any coach is make Nate Stanley beat you. We're going to put 6, 7, 8 people on the line. Stanley's got to make you beat him. We know he has overthrows. And I say, aside from the Iowa State and Ohio State game, he really hasn't shown us much. And then one other thing is, I have never in my time seen a punting game make such a difference in numerous games. You got a one-year-old kid there. Start giving him squats and teach that kid to kick, because anybody can kick a ball 25 yards and it doesn't make a difference. But it sure seems we get the field flipped way too often. Guys, have a nice Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking my call.
You too, Ron. I thought for a second, I didn't know where we were going there. I thought, remember the movie Little Big League?
Yes.
Where the 12-year-old takes over the running the Twins?
Great movie.
Maybe Disney has a movie on its hands with a one-year-old punter who comes along and saves an NFL franchise or something there. But I get what he's saying, because it seems to be a lost art. And we had Ron Caluzzi on the program a couple weeks ago. Who would have thought, and he was certainly a big part of the team's success last year, but who would have thought they would have missed him this much? But again, not singling out an individual player, because I don't really like to do that, but it's hard to watch that game Saturday night and not just scratch your head every time Colton Rastetter goes out there to kick the football. And it wasn't necessarily just the wind, and that's a huge part. And when you play the style of football that Iowa traditionally has under Kirk Ferentz, field position is huge. And when you can't win the field position battle, you're giving the upper hand to your opponent. Let's squeeze Matt in North Liberty in here. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, real quick, guys. First of all, happy Thanksgiving. This will be the last time I get to listen to you this week. But secondly, predictability. Do you think, and Todd, I'm sure you, the couch potatoes like me that sit at home and watch the game, the armchair quarterbacks, predictability as far as play calling. Now, if we can predict what Iowa's going to run, what do you think the guys that are on the other team that are getting paid to stop what they're doing? I mean, and they're spending way more time than we are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the predictability is obvious. When they're set up double tight, it's most likely probably an off-tackle run left or right.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, it's not rocket science when it comes to Iowa football. You know, and I'm not saying we need to change, because like the first caller said, be careful what you wish for. You know, look at what Florida's gone through since Spurrier's left. 5 head coaches in 15 years, you know, and we're lucky that we've had one in the last 19, you know. So the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and it's not always as brown, you know. So there's a lot to play for still, I think, in the Nebraska game, but it's just, you know, can we get that offense clicking again? That's the million-dollar question.
Appreciate the phone call, Matt. 526, we'll step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you, and then we'll get Scott Docterman's thoughts. Scott from the landat10.com at Kinnick Stadium, as I was on Saturday. We both watched the same game. We'll see if he saw some of the same issues that I did. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM after this.
Hello, and welcome to Elf Training 101. Today, we'll be learning about decorating Santa's castle.
Ooh, I love this stuff. Come on, let's put up the lights and get the big striped North Pole sign up on the roof.
Now, just a minute, Jingle. There are a few things we need to learn before we decorate.
Like how to string popcorn?
No, like safety procedures.
Safety? What?
Just like Linn County REC taught us. For example, we always check our lights to be sure they have a UL safety certification.
Got it. I'm gonna go get the hammer to get started.
And we never use metal staples or nails because that can damage the insulation on the wires.
Oh.
And when we put the North Pole sign on the roof, we make sure it's clear of overhead power lines.
Huh.
You see, safety is a big part of holiday decorating.
I guess I've got a lot to learn.
For homework, go to LinnCountyREC.com and get all the info.
Okay, is toy making next?
Next, we study elf fashions throughout the decades.
Power up safely this holiday season with help from Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Yes, the Quick Lane Bowl did used to be the Pizza Bowl. Wiggy. 527, welcome back in. We'll send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa basketball suffered a pretty tough loss today, 80-71 to Louisiana Lafayette. The Hawkeyes scored only 17 points in the first half and went on to shoot just 36% from the floor on the whole game. They'll play the loser of Wyoming versus South Dakota State tomorrow at 11. Some much-needed good news for Iowa fans. Josh Jackson was named a finalist today for the Jim Thorpe Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive back. He leads the nation in both picks and passes defended. Josie Jewell was also named the Lott Impact Trophy Player of the Week. Iowa State basketball eked one out against Tulsa on Friday and went on to beat Boise State 75-64 yesterday to be crowned champions of the Puerto Rico tip-off. It's a big turnaround for a program that staggered to an 0-2 start to the season, but point guard Nick Weiler-Babb has led them back to 3-2, and today he was named the Big 12 Player of the Week. In the three tournament games alone, he averaged over 17 points, over 9 rebounds, and nearly 9 assists per game. Cyclone defensive back Brian Peavy has played extremely well this season and today was announced as Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week after he had 10 tackles and a forced fumble. Garrett Owens was also named Special Teams Player of the Week. He kicked 3 field goals, including a season-long 45-yarder. Matt Campbell also dispelled injury concerns for running back David Montgomery, saying only he'll be ready to roll. Iowa's Megan Gustafson was named to the Big Ten Women's Basketball Weekly Honor Roll. She averaged 18.5 points and 12 rebounds on 70% shooting and 2 wins last week. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Cyclone Women taking on the University of Missouri, Kansas City. That's going to be on 1600. And also Monday Night Football between the Falcons and Seahawks on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
All right, Scott Docterman from thelandat10.com is going to join us next. We'll talk plenty of Hawkeye football, maybe squeeze a basketball question in or two with him. As Kyle mentioned, the Hawkeyes losing today 80-71 to Louisiana. Hour number two continues after this.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, voted best IT support company in the Corridor Business Journal. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Monday Night Football against the Falcons. The Seahawks will be without multiple members of their Legion of Boom for the first time since 2011. Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, sidelined by injuries. Atlanta starts Tevin Coleman in place of injured running back Devontae Freeman. 8:20 Eastern, ESPN TV. NBA Celtics try and run their winning streak to 16 straight tonight in Dallas. Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield will not start or be a captain Saturday against West Virginia. He will play, though. Coach Lincoln Riley emotional in announcing his decision.
And we've been through a lot together, and he's a tremendous teammate. He's the best football player in America. He's got a great heart that a lot of people don't get the chance to see like I do, and I'm proud as hell to be his coach.
Mayfield has apologized for cursing and making an obscene gesture toward the Kansas bench on Saturday. Mayfield, Penn State's Saquon Barkley, and Stanford's Bryce Love, finalists for the Maxwell Award given to college football's top player. College basketball, Missouri freshman Michael Porter Jr. out a third straight game tonight. He will be seeing a specialist about his injured hip.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
This isn't a plug for Honda generators. It's actually a lot of plugs. Honda generators offer quiet, reliable, and efficient power to energize your next tailgate party, for your home during an electrical outage, to power your tools on the job site, and take on your next camping trip. These gasoline-powered generators have easy-starting and dependable Honda engines. See the full line of Honda power equipment at Acme Tools, 1943 Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids. Do your best work.
When something bad happens, you don't want to get sucked into the black hole of voicemail. And you certainly don't want to tell your story over and over each time you're transferred. What you want is a kind, smart person who knows your coverage top to bottom, understands how you're feeling, and helps you figure out what's next. It's really not too much to ask. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning the power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
This season, give thanks to the car that helps you get through it. Keep your car running newer, longer at Firestone Complete Auto Care. Get $100 off with a purchase of $500 or more during the Black Friday Savings Event. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid November 22nd through 27th. Eligible tires only. Additional fees may apply where lawful. Subject to restrictions. See store or driveafirestone.com for full details.
The Amazon Black Friday Deals Week is on now, with deals across every department. That's all the deals you're looking for, all in one place, available wherever you are. Plus, get free shipping on over 100 million items, with eligible orders over $25. Good times. The Amazon Black Friday Deals Week, from November 17th to 24th.
Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't get the ones you love some lame, boring gift like a new car or jewelry or toys or expensive electronics or any other junk. Nope, get that special someone what they really want. Exactly! A KFC $5 fill-up with 100% white meat popcorn chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink. It's the perfect gift for all those important people in your life who get hungry right around lunchtime. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
Clean Motor Oil keeps your engine running at peak performance. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, save on your next oil change when you purchase 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for the price of Pennzoil Conventional, just $24.99. Save big with Pennzoil Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
5:35, welcome back in the halfway point of another Todd Brommelkamp show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, getting you to 7 o'clock tonight. Monday Night Football on the horizon for our FM frequency listeners, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 here in Cedar Rapids, Seattle, and Atlanta on the line tonight, 1600 AM. We're going to part ways with you listeners at 6:30 tonight as Iowa State, the women, will take on UMKC on 1600 AM. So final 30 minutes of the program, you'll have to catch us on the FMs tonight. Or you can listen online, kgymradio.com. Poll question there for you today. Which will you enjoy? What was the phrasing? I want to make sure I get the phrasing right here. What is less enjoyable this Friday, waking up to what's more painful Friday?
You hit it right on the head.
Less enjoyable this Friday? Waking up super early to go Black Friday shopping or having to watch Iowa, Nebraska? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Another guy who, like me, will be watching that Iowa-Nebraska game in person at the Memorial Stadium press box on Friday is Scott Docterman from the Land of 10. We bring Scott on the program with us now. And, Scott, you were there, as was I, on Saturday and watched Iowa and Purdue. How do you explain where the Hawkeyes are 11 games into the season?
You can't. And I think that's probably the most frustrating part for everybody involved, whether it's us trying to make some sort of sense out of what we've seen out of this team this year, the coaches, which obviously have no idea what they've got, and the fans, which kind of want to know, is this team good or not good? And you don't know from week to week and which side of the ball. I mean, you see, you know, a Nate Stanley throw 5 touchdown passes against Iowa State, and you see kind of general malaise on the offensive side of the ball for the better part of the season. So the game the other day, I knew that Purdue was a pretty good team, but much better than they were last year. That was pretty obvious from what we saw out of on the defensive side of things. But then when you look at the way Iowa was attacked, you know, at corner in the third quarter, it really just shows you that there are some deficiencies that good coaches can spot, and Iowa really struggled to pick up on. And, you know, they ended up changing cornerbacks 3 times in that game, but by then it was too far gone. And I think Iowa simply was out-coached, outplayed, and clearly out-executed on Saturday.
Scott, Kirk was asked by Mike Halas, your former colleague, about how can this team look like they did against Ohio State and then look like they have against Wisconsin and Purdue the next 2 weeks. Now, you chart plays and watch as much film of this team as anybody that I know. Is there no making sense of the difference between those two teams?
I think what I've seen a little bit differently is Ohio State played them pretty much straight up on defense. They have an excellent defensive line, but they never really altered what they did. They went 4-3, really it kind of played into what Iowa is used to competing against. Wisconsin plays that 3-4 that's just crazy. I mean, it's really hard to defend, and they were playing at such a high level that you've got to, you know, basically beg for a first down. Purdue wasn't quite that way. They sell out to the run, but Iowa's had so many problems dropping passes and this year that it really killed them. Now, I would say that there's one strategy mistake that Iowa made that really caused some problems in hindsight, and that was in the third quarter. They kicked off, but they decided to kick into the wind. And normally you think, well, that way you can have the ball in the fourth quarter with the wind at your back. But the problem was they had a 9-7 lead. They dominated the second quarter. And if you continue to pin Purdue back, you could get the ball at midfield with the wind at your back and force the issue to score, to move the ball, and you make things difficult. So then in the fourth quarter, you've got the lead. They've got some issues, and they force force the ball down the field, and maybe you can pick something off. Problem was that Purdue, with the ball, with the wind at its back, you know, really attacked Iowa offensively, and it just Iowa didn't know how to respond. I mean, in 2 quick drives at 3 minutes, they scored 2 touchdowns. Iowa was down 12, and then Iowa doesn't have a great punting game, so they really started the strategy part of things really backfired on Iowa, and they were behind for the rest of the game. Then you had, you know, a muffed punt and, you know, a lot of drop passes. So Iowa really struggled to get back into it. So the execution and the strategy was both faulty in the second half.
I'll ask you a question that we tackled in hour number one, a subject that we touched on anyway, and that's this team at the beginning of the year, most people looked at it and said 6-6, 7-5, and if they beat Nebraska on Friday, that's exactly where they're at. So why the feeling of complete and utter disgust at the way things have played out this year with, when you go back and look at the beginning of the season, this team sort of is exactly what people were expecting it to be?
I think it's because of the way the offense has just been both inconsistent, and, you know, all of a sudden there's these incredible games. I mean, Ohio State putting up 55 just changed the way everybody felt about this team. And then I think also, the fact that they've scored 10 points, you know, in a couple of games, 17, 15, that there just doesn't seem to be any hope running the football. So you feel like this team, once it got it all put together, it would be a pretty good team, and it just isn't there. Now, you're exactly right. Most people said 7-5. I actually said 8-4. I thought that they had a chance to be a pretty good team, and they, you know, up until the other day, I thought I was going to be right. But it just, I think living in the moment and watching all the breakdowns. I mean, the fact that this team is, you know, ranked, what, 109th, 108th running the football. You know, that's a primary tenet for the Ferentz era, you know, being able to run the football. Last year, they averaged almost 172 yards a game. This year, they're at 127. And you're looking at the running backs going, they're good. We know they're good. We've seen them. Why is it such a problem up front when that's supposed to be the Ferentz primary area of expertise? And right now, there's so many questions, and we're really not getting any answers.
I want to shift to the special teams, because to me, I watch that and I see that this team, you'd think that they would need the special teams to bolster what has been a struggling offense, but their punting game has been really bad. The punt return game has been really bad. They don't have anybody that has been able to consistently catch a punt. The field goal unit, we haven't seen all that often. Is this the most baffling shortcoming of this team, possibly?
I would say running the football has been more baffling to me, but I think this is probably the most frustrating area, because they really don't have any, you know, explanation as to why this isn't working. I mean, you look at punter; they offered a scholarship to Ryan Gersonde. They took half the year before they got him out there. I guess he's a little dinged up, which is why he hasn't punted. But Colton Rassetter hasn't done the job. And you look, you know, just about on every high school team, especially in smaller schools, the best player on the team sometimes punts, and you start to wonder, you know, would they be better off if, Nathan Stanley, for instance, was just simply the punter too, or if they had somebody else who did it in high school, because this has just gone too far. I mean, they're just not doing anything right here. And then, you know, now even worse has been the play of their kick returns. And I think everybody should take a look back and say, wow, Desmond King was terrific, because he really was. And they let him go, because they really didn't do that with Micah Hyde. He fair caught a lot of balls, but now they're just having problems tracking the football in the air, and that's killed them on field position. And you look like the Northwestern game, where they had, what, an 80-some-odd-yard punt because Josh Jackson didn't field it cleanly, and then Matt Vandenberg struggled this year, you know, against Wisconsin, letting balls go, and then he, you know, muffed one at a really critical time for Iowa in the fourth quarter the other day. So it's just, I think it's you've almost got to turn the page and say, you know what, Max Cooper, if you're going to be our guy at that position, you've got to be able to do it from now on. And, you know, and forget the other guys. They're going to be gone anyway. And so I would say the punt return game is probably the worst of any unit on the team. And I would say punting is right behind it.
Talking Hawkeye football with Scott Docterman from thelandof10.com. Scott, I don't know whether you caught it earlier today or not. I accidentally had you back at the Cedar Rapids Gazette one time, so my apologies. But what type of line of questioning do you expect Kirk Ferentz to field tomorrow? Because when we get into these situations, you always have some people, especially online, that say the media won't ask the tough questions of Kirk Ferentz. So is he going to get softballs tomorrow, or do you see some questions that maybe make him a little uncomfortable, as he was Saturday night, I thought?
Yeah, I think he's going to be getting some tough questions. Now, the ones that a lot of people want, whether it's on our Facebook page, which isn't the best decider of things, or some of the message boards, is, you know, why doesn't he resign? You know, we're not going to ask those kind of questions. That's not going to happen. But, you know, I think there needs to be some discussion, and heavy discussion, about why isn't this offense working? And you can't just say, well, that's football, or that's the part of the problem. No, I mean, we really need to know why, because, I mean, you look at the tackles, and they're young and inexperienced, but, you know, they need to do a better job. Is it the fact that they are so reliant upon running the football, that other, is there a tip there? You know, is there just something? I mean, because Akron Wadley is an NFL running back, and so is James Butler. So I think those questions are going to be there. I think, you know, punting game and punt returner, why they haven't turned the page there, what's wrong with Ryan Gersonde and why he's not kicking. You know, wide receivers, I think that's got to be an issue because there's been so many drops, and they burned the red shirts of three different guys. Now, Amir Smith-Marset's been in there a long time, but Brandon Smith and Max Cooper barely have played. If you see this many drops from guys, you need to give them an opportunity. So I think there's going to be some questions along that line. And finally, you know, where have the tight ends gone? I mean, have they just been covered up in this offense, or is it, you know, or have they been ignored, you know, after having such a, you know, big game against Ohio State a couple weeks ago?
How do you assess the offensive line play over the past couple of weeks? 11 sacks allowed, and a lot of people point to the freshman tackles, but you've seen some of the veteran interior guys struggling as well.
I don't think it's been good at all most of the year, and I think it's really been bad the last 2 weeks. Now, you know, Wisconsin, I kind of wondered if that was going to happen because, you know, they run so many stunts and they have such athletic linebackers that they're going to cause problems. Now, their nose tackle, who was terrific, really caused some problems for James Daniels. But, you know, they got outnumbered a lot on Saturday. I mean, there was a lot of eight-man boxes that Iowa – the only time I really countered it was when it went to a three tight end set. And I thought overall that the offensive line just kept getting beat man for man. And a lot of that is, you know, is it an experience? Is it, you know, lack of athletic ability? I think some of it's more, you know, more the experience part on the outside. But the inside, it's just been perplexing. You know, you just wonder, you know, Sean Welch and James Daniels are both very good. They've had a rotating door at the other guard. I guess I'm really surprised to see them struggle this much because this was an area where you thought Iowa would excel. Before the season, I thought, okay, if Nate Stanley's a caretaker quarterback, they'll be fine for a while because they have a good enough offensive line that won the Joe Moore Award last year, and you got two good running backs. Instead, it's been the complete opposite, which is just really hard to get your mind around.
What happens if Iowa loses at Nebraska on Friday, Scott?
I think we're back to where we were 3 years ago when they lost to Nebraska at home, you know, the Bats football era. That year they were 7-5. They lost all four trophy games. Fan discontent was at probably a high in the Ferentz era. I think we're right back there, if not worse. I mean, can you imagine the fan apathy if they go 6-6? You lose to a Nebraska team that's not going to a bowl game. What if Purdue gets beaten by Indiana and they don't go to a bowl game? Then you're looking around going, where is this program headed? I mean, was 2015 an aberration? I know a lot of people are saying that. And, you know, but the statistics kind of bear it out. And so I think fans are going to start generating a lot of heat on Gary Barta, on Kirk Ferentz. We're going to start having a lot of off-season discussions about, you know, okay, is this about the end? You know, we've talked a lot about Brian Ferentz being the successor. You know, what does that mean? You know, so I think it's going to be a really rough offseason if they lose to Nebraska, or even worse, if they lose their bowl game, because I think that's something that they absolutely have to win this year.
Last question for you, and a perfect setup. I know you and Bobby Legesse have spent a lot of time going back and forth looking at the bowl situation and the contracts, and it's difficult even a week before the end of the regular season, but what's the latest as far as your projection on where the Hawkeyes could be heading?
I think there's really two spots, and it somewhat depends on what happens with Indiana-Purdue. I would say the Pinstripe Bowl or the Music City Bowl are the two most likely destinations. If Indiana wins, I think Iowa is almost destined for sure for New York, unless somehow Michigan falls there. Because Indiana and Northwestern both have played at the Pinstripe Bowl, and there's a desire by the Big Ten, it's kind of part of their contract, to go 8 teams over 8 years in New York, and so Iowa kind of fits that profile now. But if Purdue wins, against Indiana, then it could be Iowa in the Music City Bowl. I think that's where most fans want to go. Nashville's a drive versus a flight to New York. I mean, you know, the weather is going to be probably, who knows what it's going to be in Tennessee. It's probably going to be chilly in New York. But I think it's going to be one of those two bowls. Maybe an outside shot at the Foster Farms. But If you had to pin me down today, I'd probably say the Pinstripe Bowl in New York City.
Open-air press box at Yankee Stadium. Sounds fun. Scott Dochterman, Land of 10. Always a pleasure, Scott. We'll see you Friday. Safe travels. See you tomorrow, actually.
I'm
putting the cart before the horse there. Tomorrow is Kirk Ferentz's media availability in Iowa City. 5:51. You guys are going to think that I'm talking about the Iowa football program here, but bear with me. Do you find yourself not quite in the same shape that you used to be? Are you wishing that results would be a little bit better? Again, not talking about on the football field. I'm talking about personal life. Maybe every time you step on the scale, you look in the mirror in the morning. Guys, I'm talking to you. You know it. It's a fact of life. You reach a certain age, and you just don't feel like the guy you used to when you were in your early 20s. Well, it's natural, and you may be suffering from low testosterone. You might not even know it. There's a quick and easy way to find out whether or not you could get a treatment program put in place that could get you back on track. As a matter of fact, a treatment program that is 90% successful regardless of what your physical condition is. I'm talking about Mentality. It's a new local men's health clinic open in North Liberty, on Ashley Court. You can check them out online at lowtusa.com. Your visit will be covered by insurance. Most likely, you're going to be dealing with board-certified physicians, and it's as simple as a blood test. If you don't have low T, no problem. If you do, they can help you out. As a matter of fact, it's so easy, they will ship all of what you need directly to you. No trips to the pharmacy, no waiting in line behind the woman getting 5 prescriptions filled. Nobody stuck at the drive-through lineup. You know exactly what I'm talking about here. LowTUSA.com and Mentality. Make your appointment now. Again, LowTUSA.com. 5:53, we'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back, more of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show, including another Midwest One Bank Big Board update with Kyle. Back after this.
Are you in the market for a new or used vehicle? I'm Brittany from Toyota of Iowa City, and I'm here with some great news for you. Toyota of Iowa City, voted the area's best auto dealer by Press Citizen readers once again, is starting its Toyota Black Friday event right now. Come browse our huge vehicle inventory and take advantage of factory specials such as 0% financing for 60 months on all new 2018 RAV4s and 2.9% financing on all certified pre-owned RAV4s. And come in to see the great lease rates on all new 2018 Camrys. You really need to stop in and see for yourself. But don't wait. These deals end on December 4th. Check us out today at toyotaiowacity.com for more specials and details, or better yet, just stop in and tell them Brittany sent you.
0% financing for 60 months requires qualifying credit and is $1,667 per $1,000 borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
Black Friday, the day a different breed of hunter takes aim. Show those bargain hunters how it's done as you bag the trophy sale at Red Wing Shoes. When you think of fine handcrafted leather boots for the hunt, work or rugged casual, craftsmanship is obviously what you're after. But if you can find that quality at a discount, go in for the kill. Red Wing and Irish Setter brands are on sale one day only, Black Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Red Wing Shoes, in the fountains by Hy-Vee on Edgewood Road.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall on the Ped Ball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
5:56, welcome back in. Hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, about to come to a conclusion. We still got to hear from Fran McCaffrey after Iowa's 80-71 loss to Louisiana earlier today at the Cayman Islands Classic. That's coming up in hour number three. But first, here's Kyle with another Midwest One Big Board update.
Iowa basketball suffered a pretty tough loss today, 80-71 to Louisiana Lafayette. The Hawkeyes scored only 17 points in the first half and went on to shoot just 36% from the floor. They'll play the loser of Wyoming versus South Dakota State tomorrow at 11. Some much-needed good news for Iowa fans. Josh Jackson was named a finalist today for the Jim Thorpe Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive back. He leads the nation in both picks and passes defended. Josie Jewell was also named the Lott Impact Trophy Player of the Week. Iowa State basketball eked one out against Tulsa on Friday and went on to beat Boise State 75-64 yesterday to be crowned champions of the Puerto Rico tip-off. It's a big turnaround for a program that staggered to an 0-2 start to the season, but point guard Nick Weiler-Babb has led them back to 3-2, and today he was named the Big 12 Player of the Week. In the three tournament games alone, he averaged over 17 points, over 9 rebounds, and nearly 9 assists per game. Cyclone defensive back Brian Peavy has played extremely well this season and today was announced as Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week after he had 10 tackles and a forced fumble. Garrett Owens was also named Special Teams Player of the Week. He kicked 3 field goals, including a season-long 45-yarder. Head coach Matt Campbell dispelled injury concerns for running back David Montgomery, saying only he'll be ready to roll. Iowa's Megan Gustafson was named to the Big Ten Women's Basketball Weekly Honor Roll. She averaged 18.5 points and 12 rebounds on 70% shooting in 2 wins last week. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Cyclone women taking on the University of Missouri, Kansas City. That's going to start at 6:30 on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. We're also going to have Monday Night Football between the Falcons and Seahawks on the North and South Gym FM frequencies.
Couldn't have done it better myself. Hour number three on the way after this.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't waste your holiday vacation cooking dinner. Instead, waste it watching TV or catching up on sleep. And let me prepare a home-style meal.